Welcome to the Rob and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
Now, I'm not doing anything flashy, Daddy, but I'm getting results.
And Kale Hall.
The biggest and the best looking is right here. It's been your pleasure.
The Rob and Kale Podcast.
And welcome into the Rob and Kale Podcast. My name is Rob Sanders. My podcast partner is in the upstate, probably about 120 miles from me. That's a wild guess there. He is, of course, Carolina Jackpot, my buddy Kale Hall. What's going on, buddy?
Glad to be here, Rob. Wednesday evening, hot, muggy outside. Grass is growing like crazy. Vegetables are growing like crazy. We're in the summertime, full bore. People are going on vacation. So we might be missing a few viewers tonight. Hopefully we get some new viewers to, kind of combat that and offset it a little bit. Hey, if you are new here, please hit the thumbs up button. We will always take a bit of a super chat donation from YouTube on here. But guys, if you would, if you want to donate and help the channel out, the best way you can do it, if you want to send that $5 over and to make sure that $5 or $10 or whatever goes to help the Rob and Kale Show, just PayPal it to me, kale8670@aol.com. That's kale8670, the at sign, aol.com, or over to rosanders1979@gmail.com. That's rosanders1979@gmail.com. I'll put that down in the description box below the live video tonight after we're done. That really helps us out a little bit to grow the channel. The super chats are great. They're lovely. But the thing about it is, and it's not YouTube. Don't want to bash YouTube because it's a great platform for us to be on. It's Google who actually takes half of the super chat. So if Huffer Billy Paul sends us a $20 super chat, only $10 of it is going to Rob and Kale. The other 10 is going to Google. And you don't want to feed the Google monster. That monster already has enough money. So let's use PayPal instead. And if they choose to demonetize our video because I said that Google sucks, how about this? There's two words for you. You can go eat one, Google. You're greedy as fuck. And you suck for taking people's super chat money. Anyway.
I agree with you on that, Jackpot. Good stuff there. Look, we have to take a moment here before we get into our main topic tonight, which is CBS Sports says Shane Beamer is the worst rated coach in Power 5. I sent this to Jackpot earlier, and we're going to get his instant thoughts on that today. But before we do that, we were a little late this evening, and we got to talk about that for a moment. Jackpot, tell us you had to put to rest something earlier, right? I mean, it was sad. You bought something to give yourself a little bit more light, to show us some of that beautiful Jackpot face.
Yeah, and I did.
And all of a sudden, we're getting ready to go live, and this thing is just giving Jackpot trouble. And all of a sudden, Jackpot had to kill it. He had to make it walk away, ladies and gentlemen. It's just
we're going to have a funeral for the $5.99 backlight from Roses in Greenville, South Carolina. Goodbye, my old friend. It was a great 3 months, you fucking fuck.
By the way, for us to buy that $5.99 thing from Roses.
Chinese shit.
To buy that $5.99 thing from Roses cost you $12 in the super chat or $6 to Kale's PayPal there. So rest in peace, you $6 piece of shit. Just wanted to make sure we put that out there before we got on the show. That's why we were a little bit late this evening. Sorry about that. Walk away. Walk away, piece of shit. Walk
please,
away.
Please forgive us. It won't happen again.
Yeah. It was so funny because Jackpot's over there wrestling with it like he's trying to get out of Arn Anderson's headlock, and then finally all of a sudden
that wouldn't happen.
I can hear the thing just flying across the room, and it was screaming no and then shattered. All right. So that's why we're a little bit late this evening. We're trying to get better with that. Anyway,
R. Culver says Google sucks harder than Kamala on knees in a judge's office. I don't want to get into politics too much or nothing, but that was funny. I don't know if he was talking about the vice president or the Kamala, the Ugandan giant, the late Kamala, who had the half moon print on his belly.
So
as American Dream, that's a rose of fade, baby.
If one of us decided to dress up as Kamala, that would be considered not good. Because, like, how could we be Kamala? Like, Kamala, like the wrestler, we couldn't be the Ugandan giant.
No, and he was black. I mean, he was very dark. You know, he was from Mississippi. He's from Mississippi. He died not that long ago.
I thought he was still alive. You may be right. I don't know. I know he was sick.
You know, he was a damn truck driver.
He had diabetes and all kind of bad stuff happened to him. So
yeah, he was a truck driver in between wrestling. Somebody said something about one of those old documentaries about Hulk Hogan or JYD or somebody that wrestled Kamala. That said something about his normal role as a truck driver in between stops in Mid-South wrestling. They showed him in full gimmick with the face paint and the damn moon and everything else sitting in the front damn seat of a damn Peterbilt. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's thank our sponsors really quick, and then we'll get into our main topic this evening. We'll start with Callaway's Bar and Grill in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. Shout out to Mike Muse. Gamecock Letterman won his letter in the 90s with the Gamecocks. Jackpot was cheering on Mike Muse. He didn't even know it. And yeah, so go to Callaway's Bar and Grill, callawaysbarandgrill.com if you're out in West Columbia. Also, we have a DNC Trucking and Transport. Dennis Wilson, the man who can move your stuff for you. He is a commodity mover, I think is what he calls himself. I don't remember. Property mover. His trucks can move your stuff. Dennis Wilson. We love Dennis Wilson.
His lips move and they spew bullshit. So
easy on the sponsor, sir. Be nice.
But you know what? It's good bullshit because he's a nice guy.
All right. So fireside chats with Uncle Kale. Please give us some knowledge here, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson won a national title before my Gamecocks won a bowl game. Clemson has won 3 national titles since UGA won its last national title. It's been 2,382 days since my team has beaten Clemson on the football field. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. We appreciate him. By the way, I got to work with former Gamecock quarterback, Jackpot, Mike Hold the other day.
Oh, really?
From a long time ago,
Hold from the 1984-85 Gamecocks. He was from Mesa Community College in Arizona. That's how he came to South Carolina. So, I mean, what an unlikely hero. I mean, he was good, though, man. He was gritty. I mean, an option quarterback who could throw a fucking 70-yard bomb. I mean, he's unreal.
I wanted to get a picture with him, but I felt awkward because it was in kind of a professional environment and we were recording spots for his financial company. But I have to admit, I was in a bit of awe of Mike Hold, who was an absolute standout for the Gamecocks, played in the NFL, was a, you know.
Did he really? I didn't know that he ever played in the NFL.
Yes, sir. From what I gather from his sweet daughter was there. She's like 14, 15 years old. She read the spot for him, and she was talking about his time in the NFL, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. But, yeah, having Mike Hold in studio, even if you're not a Gamecock fan, you got to respect what he was and the athlete that he was. Pretty cool.
A lot of people that are listening to this podcast and watching this YouTube live feed and the Facebook feed, probably I would venture to say 75% of those folks don't know who Mike Hold is, so educate them, please.
Mike Hold played game for the Gamecocks. He was a starting quarterback for them. Let's see here. I'll give you the whole gist of it here. Played in the NFL and the Arena League for the Chicago Bruisers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Maryland Commandos, Denver Dynamite, Sacramento Attack, Orlando Predators, Connecticut Coyotes, Arizona Rattlers, and the Houston Thunder Bears. They did an article on him in February of last year with the state newspaper.
Good Lord, he's been passed around more than old Debbie Does Dallas VHS.
We didn't have to get into that, sir. We didn't have to get into that.
Lord, I didn't know you played. Good God.
I mean, he played for teams that don't even freaking exist anymore. So
none of them, do any of them exist anymore other than Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, he was the starter on that 84 team that went up and lost to Navy.
Let me correct you. And I'm not throwing shade on you by correcting you on this, because a lot of people don't know. It was like a platoon system. The starting quarterback was Alan Mitchell.
Right.
And then Mike Hold, about the third game of the season when South Carolina beat Georgia, Mike Hold would come in. They would rotate back and forth. But it always seemed like when the game was on the line and the chips were down, the Gamecocks were that team. I remember I went to a ton of games. I went to two road games that year. I went to a bunch of home games too, because that was the first year that I really got into college football that I can vividly remember. I remember going with my mom to see South Carolina, and we lost to Furman in 1982. But I don't remember any details about it. I remember 1980, the first game I ever went to as a Gamecock fan when we played the Citadel. But I don't remember any details about it, really, other than the Citadel actually had a live Bulldog mascot at the time that shit on the sideline on the AstroTurf. the cock turf, I guess, as you'd call it there on the side. That's all I remember, though. 84 was when I started to vividly remember things. I started to understand. I knew what a first down was. I knew what a fourth down was. That was some good stuff. And he came into several bad situations that year, namely on the road at Notre Dame, and led the Gamecocks to come from behind victory. On the road against NC State, led the Gamecocks to come from behind victory. So, Mike Hold was the one who gets all the recognition that year, but Alan Mitchell was actually the starting quarterback.
Well, it's safe to say he's a Gamecock legend. It was kind of cool to spend some time with him in studio.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's a cult legend.
So here's the some of the stuff for him. He said, I went to the Denver Broncos after college. I got cut because I couldn't beat out John Elway. Landed in Chicago with the Arena League
team. Well, you don't say.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. In the 1987 season, the NFL players were on strike, so he went over the picket line and played for Tampa Bay. After the strike was over, got cut, and in 88 went back to training camp and got cut because he said he couldn't beat out Vinny Testaverde. So there you go with that.
Vinny was pretty a viable quarterback in his day. I mean, he was in college anyway. I'm not so sure about in the pros, but he was good.
Yep.
His big ass fucking Ric Flair nose.
Oh shit, jackpot. Anyway, he also did some coaching there. Anyway, I thought I'd drop that in there for a minute.
I almost thought you said he also did some coke.
I also did some coaching, but
man, done that too. Who knows?
Maybe who knows?
Right? It was crazy.
It was the 80s. You know, everybody was doing the old booger sugar. So
I didn't. I was scared to do anything like that. I think the first time I ever smoked a cigarette was like in 1989 when I was maybe 13 years old. Right. And at the time, they actually that was back when, cigarettes and advertising and all that stuff was not taboo like it is now. And they sent my mom a free sample, which was like a pack, which a free sample of Virginia Slim cigarettes. I don't smoke. They sent her a free sample pack of cigarettes to the house. I intercepted it because I got home from school early when the bus would drop me off. I always checked the mail, and I was like, And I took them down things. It was fucking Virginia Slims. I buried them in the woods and down pine needles. And I would go down there and smoke one every day after school until we were in the middle of a drought until on like day 16 when it finally fucking rained. It ruined my cigarettes. And I still went down there and tried to fucking smoke them. But obviously the effectiveness was gone from the rain.
Jackpot out there smoking wet cigarettes. Childhood.
Yeah, we're really getting in the weeds here and just, you know, talking about some stuff that has nothing to do with college football or the
Hold on now. Mike Hold has plenty to do with college football now.
We went from Mike Hold to Virginia Slims getting rained on. What are we doing?
All right. Well, let's get into the main topic this evening. Shane Beamer, according to CBS Sports, they ranked the Power Five coaches from 65 to 1. And 65 is Shane Beamer. I'm going to read what they wrote about Shane Beamer, and then I'm going to let you respond, and then we can talk about some of the coaches that are ranked above him. So it's going to be interesting here as my son comes to visit. Hello, son. he likes to get on TV and see himself over there, and then, you know, he'll go sit with his mom all the time, but then he wants get over here. Say hi to Kale. Say hi, Kale. All right.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
All right, buddy. All right. So, South Carolina, this is what they said about Shane Beamer. While none of our voters subscribe to the same approach to their rankings, every year we tend to see new coaches without experience running their own program end up on the bottom. Beamer has a famous name and plenty of experience as an assistant at the Power Five level, but he's never been a coordinator, which probably hurt him compared to his two fellow newcomers. Jackpot, what are your instant thoughts on what CBS Sports says about the brand new South Carolina football coach?
Well, I mean, okay, so none of these guys have any head coaching experience. You're going to automatically lump them at the bottom.
Right.
But, I mean, I was looking at this, too. I kind of looked at it a little bit. On top of that, I mean, you have guys like Dino Babers, Mike Loxley, who are in front of these guys who have, I mean, who have built careers out of losing football games. So that's why I'm not a fan of these kind of lists, and I don't think they hold any validity. They're very subjective, and I mean, it's all just their opinion. It's opinion. I mean, how can you say that something named Jeb Fish is better than Shane Beamer because he's been a coordinator in college? How can you say something called Clark Lee is better than Shane Beamer just because he was a defensive coordinator for a Notre Dame team that got bent over and butt-fucked by Clemson last year in the ACC championship game and also in the playoffs against Alabama? I mean, how can you sit there and say that? Did you know that Shane Beamer's record as an assistant coach in 20 years, his teams that he has played on all together, I totaled every damn one of them up from 2000 to 2020. I went through all that. They're 167 and 100. And that also, let me add a caveat there, also includes in the early to mid 90s, a 3-year stint at Mississippi State where the teams were 3-8, 3-8, 3-9. So had he been on, you know, mediocre teams there, you could probably add another 10 victories and 10 less losses to that total. So obviously, I mean, we've been learning from good head coaches, and not to knock Sylvester Croom. I can just see it right now. Somebody out there, you're knocking Mississippi State and Sylvester Croom because you don't like black people. No, that's not the truth. No, he just wasn't a very good head coach because he came into a bad situation, and he was also in the SEC West, which at the time, the SEC East and the SEC West were both tough. Now the West is tougher than the East, but he was in a bad situation too. Shane Beamer has a lot of respect for him. He says he still calls him a lot. But anyway, it goes to say that the teams that he's coached with have been good. The head coaches that he has coached under have been good, very good. He's learned a lot. And let me say, these offensive and defensive coordinator guys, well, I mean, that stuff is kind of overblown just a little bit, because those motherfuckers are grinding, man. They're grinding 19, 20 hours a damn day. They're not spending that much time around the head coach. Shane probably had a little bit more leeway, and he was probably able to bounce from here to here to here during practice, during film study, during whatever, and probably gained a little bit more knowledge than somebody who was sitting here drilling in on what defense Ball State was going to run next week. I mean, am I making any sense here? Am I just done?
I'm buying what you're selling there, Jackpot, and there's a couple of coaches that were ranked ahead of him that I'm going to throw these out there, and I'm not throwing these out to get a reaction from you, because I agree with you that it's an opinion piece. But, you know, I talked about this on my sports show on Fox Sports Radio, and some folks listened to that, including Tom Brady here, who actually sent me this article today. Got to give credit to Tom for that. Thank you for looking out for the show. And
thanks, Tom. It's time you finally did something besides laying around in Tampa Bay with your supermodel girlfriend, shitting in your gold toilet and then rinsing your ass out in the silver bidet. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tom. Anyway, some of the coaches that were ranked ahead of him, there's two that I want to get to you here, Jackpot. One of them is David Cutcliffe at Duke. He's at 29. Now, in the past five seasons, he's gone 11-31 in ACC play. That is a bag of shit. I mean, 11, and he plays in the Coastal. 11-31, but that's good enough for 29th on the list.
I think that's probably still CBS people riding the coattails of the fact that he trained up Peyton Manning. And, I mean, who else did he train up? The Clawson.
He was Eli's coach at Ole Miss, too. And that's fine. But, I mean, that was fucking two decades ago. That's not now.
Exactly. That was, I mean, people don't think about that. I mean, when I think of Eli Manning right now, I still think of like the kid wearing braces with freckles, like a Fred Savage or whatever his name was.
Fred Savage.
Fred Savage type.
Wonder Years.
Kevin Arnold type kid from the Wonder Years, and his buddy Paul, you know, getting their ass kicked by his brother Wayne and his friends. That's who I think of. It's like a dork, but it's like, man, it's been like 20 something years ago since he played quarterback at Ole Miss, and he wasn't a dork, and he brought that big dick energy to Vault Hemingway Stadium. I don't know, it just seems goofy to me to think that it's been that long ago, but it really has. I mean, that is way in the rearview mirror.
All right, well, this is another one, and I don't know if you saw this or not, because I think if you did, you would have made a video beforehand driving down the road cursing and yelling things. At number 27, Jackpot, is Brian Harsin at Auburn. This is the shitbird that couldn't bring his coaches from the Mountain West. He had to steal South Carolina assistants that truly weren't worth a damn anyway, and had them leave in the middle of the night to come down there. He's got an SEC.
Yeah, like Tracy Rocker, who packed up his Pinto in the middle of the night and drove from Columbia to Auburn, Alabama, and
didn't even tell anybody. He went to the night meeting with the coaches. They were supposed to have breakfast the next morning. He just left and said, "Fuck y'all," and went to Auburn. What a shithole that guy is in the middle of the night.
And then when he was at Auburn, he stayed for a week, and then maybe he got an upgrade from the Ford Pinto. He packed his shit in the four-door Ford Fairlane. He traded in the 79 Pinto for an 83 Fairlane and then drove that damn thing to Philadelphia. Hopefully it made it. I don't know. Someone check his whereabouts. He may be stuck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike somewhere. I don't care. I really don't give a damn. If he had a flat tire, I'm not stopping to lend him a jack, even though my name's Jackpot.
But the point is that this guy hired Mike Bobo, who has been a failure forever. What a mess that is. But that's good enough for 27. And by the way, Josh Heupel at Tennessee, who is in his first season in the Power Five. Of course, his athletic director is a liar because he said, we didn't interview anyone but Josh Heupel for the job. That's not true, sir. You wanted Tony Elliott. Tony Elliott was your first choice, but he decided it's better to be the offensive coordinator at Clemson than the head coach at Tennessee. That is an absolute fact. So you had to go to get a coach that would take over your hot dog water program. So you get Josh Heupel, who went 28-8 at UCF with all of Scott Frost's players. And now
people a guy who got progressively worse every year. Yeah,
that's fair. Number 52, he's 13 spots ahead of Shane Beamer in these rankings. I don't know much. And to be honest, we don't know a lot about what Shane Beamer's going to do. But I would bet you, Jackpot, a case of your favorite beer, that Shane Beamer is not going to be ranked 65 at the end.
I mean, this is a case of we don't know what the hell we've got. So that's kind of where you got to put them.
Well, hold on, respectfully, sir. Would you rather have, and take your Gamecock goggles off for a second. I know you got about 8 of them on, but would you rather have Josh Heupel, fucking Brian Harsin, David Cutcliffe, or Shane Beamer? Which one would you rather have? As the Clemson guy on this podcast, I'll go with Beamer today and twice on Sunday.
Just looking at results. Are we just looking at results?
Who do you want to build your program? Because that's where the game talks
about. Okay. Well, you're asking me two different things here. If we're looking at who, if I'm looking at results and the resume, I would say Brian Harsin, because I mean he's got the most impressive resume recently. But then I mean I look
and he's bringing Mike Bobo back with him. I understand that.
Let me articulate here. Okay. Because, you know, I can't articulate like Lou can, according to Megan. I'm going to try, though. Looking at the decisions that he made, I don't know if he is the most intelligent individual there. But just looking at the track record, the wins, the losses, what he's done, I mean, he's kind of, you know, just carried that Boise State program on from Peterson, was that the head coach
before? Before him, and
yeah,
I don't know much about Smurf football.
And then he went to Washington, then what, he just kind of fucking quit, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, now they got something called Jimmy Lake as the head coach that nobody's ever heard of. Anyway, I mean, his track record, I mean, suggests that he would be the best option for a head coach, but I mean his assistant coaching hires and some of the moves he's made, some of the choices that he's made are kind of they're kind of head scratching. So I like Shane Beamer. I like the energy he brings. I don't know anything about Jeb Fish. I mean, he may be.
Wait. Who the fuck is Jeb Fish?
Jeb Fish, the new head coach at Arizona, took over.
Is that
Kevin Sumlin? Mr. Half Fro, call him Half Fro because he half a bald head.
I honestly thought you were bullshitting me. That's an actual coach.
Jed Fish is the new head coach at Arizona. He is ranked one spot ahead of Shane Beamer. He took over for Kevin Sumlin. The loser who couldn't win at Texas A&M, unless he's playing South Carolina, excuse me. If he was playing South Carolina, He was like Black Nick Saban, but other than that, he was shit. So he got fired, and then Clark Lee is 63rd, and Fish, the Fishman, 64th, and then Shane Beamer, 65. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's fine. I don't mind the low expectations anymore because I can understand why. People have low expectations for the Gamecock program. I mean, you go into the Belt Bowl that you're supposed to win a few years ago, and you fucking get housed by Virginia 28-0. then we turn around the next season in our home away from home. It's supposed to be same stadium against North Carolina, a team that you're favored by a touchdown against. You get housed again. You fucking lose. You lose multiple winnable games against multiple right. conference opponents, such as Kentucky, first name Mizzou, first name Tennessee. Then we do, but then all of a sudden we upset something called Georgia, and now we're world beaters. And then we go out 3 weeks later, we play Clemson, and we act like we don't even, you know, we don't even show up for the game, don't even want to be there, and we just accept the loss and just lay down and take it like a old whore on Christmas Eve. That just knows what's coming. It's ridiculous. And then the next year in 2020, you know, we start off, we play Tennessee at home, a much hyped game, which is probably one of the best games played in SEC all year long. You know, we go on the road, we play Florida. It's a game that's winnable against a defense that's vulnerable. And the coaching plan is just, it's all jacked up. I mean, we're sitting here running the ball when we should be throwing the ball and trying to even damn things up when we have a chance. We don't do it. Everybody knows. I don't need to just replay all this in your minds. Gamecock football, in a nutshell, has been very, very disappointing for the last 6 years, and I can understand the low expectations from the media because we've given the product that we have produced on the field has been lowbrow. It's been terrible, and right. I can understand finally the expectations meeting what we ultimately think will probably be the end result. You know, you can only cry wolf so many times.
Fair enough. If you want to join the show and you have comments on this, do you think Shane Beamer
Where is Beg and Megan at tonight? I mean, we do not. Because Rob dumped you the other day does not mean that we want to dump you, sir, from the podcast. Please call in. We got a new, apparently, Gamecock fan here, R. Colbert. Thanks for watching. P. Digit, shout out to you. He and I bumped fists the other day at my work at Rose's 652 in the big city of Berea, South Carolina. He's a Clemson fan, but you're always welcome here, brother. Appreciate your commentary as well. Awful hire at Tennessee this year. The Vols stumble over themselves when they hire a football coach. I'll take Beamer every day over Josh Heupel. Thank you for the intelligent commentary because there are a lot of people that feel the same way. Josh Heupel's teams at UCF were on the way down from the Scott Frost teams, and save me the Dylan Gabriel got hurt. Well, I mean, you had the young man last name Mac, who was a hell of a quarterback coming in too. Then you couldn't do anything with him. So don't give me that. And Missouri, the Mazzodcast guys were even talking about how the defense there, or the offenses, excuse me, at Mizzou were better under Derek Dooley, the same guy everybody makes fun of, than they were with Josh Heupel. By the way, Rob, you would be proud to find out yesterday for the price of 3 crisp George Washingtons per month, Carolina Jackpot has become a Patreon to the Mazzodcast.
There you go. The Mazzodcast is
Are you one?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's like 150 of us or something. I was like, holy shit. I'm like, you only got 150 patrons? And this is crazy. This is podcast gold. And we'll get some more. They even actually sent me a personalized message when I became a Patreon and said, thanks for the support, you old bastard. But, you know, I join ad-free shows with Conrad Thompson, Eric Bischoff, Kurt Angle, Arn Anderson, all those. They send me shit.
Yeah.
A few years ago, before they blew up huge, Tony Schiavone did call my house. You remember that one? I recorded that part of that for you. Right. We were talking about me and you, and he said, next time next time you and your friend Robert make a bet, tell him not to be such an idiot.
Yeah, I lost a bet to Jackpot, and I sent him a T-shirt because I lost a bet to him. And then Tony Schiavone actually called because he got a T-shirt, and basically Tony Schiavone told me to go fuck myself.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore because, I mean, they can't. I mean, they all – and they have jobs, I mean, and everything with AEW and that. They don't have enough time to do it. And the thing has grown so huge now that they could not possibly call everybody who orders a T-shirt because that's all they'd be doing all day long. But that was good stuff back in the day. It was sweet talking to him about wrestling and being a young fan in this area. It was really cool. He's a down-to-earth guy. He's awesome.
Phone calls tonight, 803-470-2905. Do you think Shane Beamer is the 65th coach as far as the Power 5 coaches? Do you think he's 65th, or do you think CBS is full of shit? We'll take calls on that, 803-470-2905. That is the number to call if you want to join us this evening. Shout out to R. Colbert, who is, as Jackpot said, is a new viewer over there. We appreciate him. USC Gamecock fans says Muschamp should have been fired after we choked the Florida game in 2018.
There he is. Begging Megan is back. Hey, Begging Megan, did you know that Gator Tooth called into the Uncle Lou show last night? I'm pretty sure he did. I was in and out of sleep because I was pretty late when I called, but I think he called and he called the Uncle Lou show. And Lou put him on the spot and made him look stupid because whatever he was saying made absolutely no sense. And I mean, if you call Lou's show, I mean, these callers are backed up like cordwood. It's not like over here where we're waiting on the next call. Lou is actually waiting to get one caller off the line so he can get the next one on. So you got to kind of be respectful of his time and. Gator Tooth and him, and he just kind of hung up on him. I thought it was funny. I think both of you people going at it is hilarious. Pete Digit, thank you for the super chat. But remember, PayPal's KL8670AOL.com, rosanders1979@gmail.com. Google just took $2.50 from Pete Digits.
Sorry, Pete Digits. Thank you for that anyway. We appreciate the super chat. Says he appreciates the entertainment and the banter.
Gator Tooth, and make no mistake about it. I said make a bet. I'm not talking crap to you. I'm not really talking crap to Megan. I just like to see. I'm like one of them old guys hanging out at the bar, and I'll go up and be up in the down or not, actually I'll be in the downstairs balcony of the bar if it's a two level place. And I'll point up here at this guy talking to the chick and say, hey, man, see that motherfucker right there? And he'll say, yeah. And he was like, he talking shit about you. And you'd be like, oh, really? You'd be drunk as hell. And I'll go hide behind a pillar or something with my beer. And I'll watch you go up there and confront him. And then the whole time, obviously, sitting here down laughing because neither one of you some bitches know each other and nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about. And then by the time everybody realizes what's up, I'm sneaking out the back door.
Yeah, you done finished your beer and heading out with your girlfriend.
Exactly.
470-2905. If you want to call and join the show, Begging Megan, I will not hang up on you if you call the show. Had to dump out a Begging Megan the other day because we're live on Fox Sports Radio, and he said
he was doing a little bit of cussing. He got a little bit passionate. I understand that too. Passionate.
He said Georgia is going to beat the shit out of Clemson, and I'm like, no, you can't say that.
That's passionate, man. That's passionate. I mean, thing is less than 2 months or less than 3 months away.
Right. Well, you can't say shit on the radio.
I'm already talking shit to Western Illinois fans.
Of course you are. Begging Megan says, please put this money towards Gator Tooth.
He had to put down the corn. He had to get down off the third story of the silo to come talk shit to me, but he did.
Wait a minute. You're talking shit to Eastern Illinois fans? Seriously?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Hold on. Now, the only thing if I were an Eastern Illinois fan, the only thing that I would possibly say to you is we have a Hall of Famer in Tony Romo.
Panthers. Yeah. Guess what? I said, we got two first-round draft picks in Jadeveon Clowney, George Rogers. What you got to say about that? And then they kind of look at me with this dumbfounded grin, you know, because out there in that part of Illinois, I mean, they all look like Jethro Bodine, but they talk with a Yankee accent. So I don't really know what to make of them. I think they're real weird. And I'm like, just get back in the silo.
Hold on.
Hey, dude.
Tom with the comment over the top tonight. Is Megan's profile pic Dan Mullen's wife, though? I think it is. Megan, you've earned my respect with that, sir. He's got Dan Mullen's wife tonguing some Florida player.
Oh, it's been on there for a while. I mean, this is nothing new.
It's the first time I've noticed it. So I bid you respect for that, sir. Because that is some top-level trolling right there. My goodness. That's nasty, by the way.
I mean, is this not weird? I mean, Rob, I mean, back in the 1980s, do you think Danny Ford's wife would have made out with William the Refrigerator Perry and Kenny Flowers?
Look, they've shown the video. Like, she kisses all these guys, like, on the mouth. That's just fucking gross. I don't give a damn.
You think Bobby Bowden's wife made out with Warrick Dunn?
Hell no. Bobby Bowden kissing Warrick Dunn. Get the hell out of here with that nonsense. Wow. What a mess that is. Jackpot, why you make me think that way, man? That's crazy.
You think Larry Coker's wife made out with Santana Moss?
Holy shit.
You think Al Groh's wife made out with Rondé Barber? Okay, that's the last one.
That's the last one? Okay.
I ain't doing no more.
I was going to go with, do you think Steve Spurrier's wife was sucking face with Connor Shaw?
You think Lou Holtz's wife made out with Phil Petty? I mean,
shit. Oh, this show's gone to hell. 803-470-2905. As we take calls this evening, if you would like to sound off on that, and you know, we can get into that as well. College World Series is this weekend too. If you are into that now, I think most people have checked out unless your team is playing. But you know, Jackpot, we talk about it's not that far off from football season. I mean, it really isn't, because we're 2 weeks away basically from July 1st, and then after that you're 3 weeks away from SEC media days, and then we're off to the races. I mean, it's going to be
going to SEC media days this year?
No, I am going to ACC media days because it's closer to here, and I don't have to go all the way to Birmingham. If they have SEC media days in Atlanta like they were supposed to, I would go to SEC media days. I absolutely.
Well, why would your company not have you? I mean, why? And this is just me talking. Why wouldn't they have you go if it's Birmingham? Not that far away from Atlanta, really.
Well, the big thing is the cost of it, and the fact that I have to pay for my stuff to go up there. Generally, our sponsors have paid for my trips to go up there, but you know, I got to pay for everything up there and all the equipment and everything else. And to be honest, when SEC media days end on Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, I got to drive all the way back to be on the air Friday. Oh, it's just tough. Now with Charlotte, I go up there, I spend one night, I come back on Thursday night. I'm back here by 8:30, 9 o'clock. And then boom, I'm able to get on the air on Friday. So Bob's over here trying to trigger me. Bob, you're funny, man. Megan Mullen goes all around town as if she were the mailman. Thank you for that, Brock. Top level comment there. All right, 803-470-2905. Blake says, I'm in college baseball. What's that, buddy?
Charlotte. I've never been a huge fan of it.
Why not? I thought Charlotte was the Gamecocks' home away from home.
Well, it was. Key word, the operative word being was.
Okay. Well, It is kind of cool. We go up there. We stay at the Westin Hotel. It's right next to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. When I go up there, like, I'm like, wow, I'd like to see the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And then I realize I have teeth, so I don't want to go there. You know, I just want to see it from afar. Would you go to the NASCAR Hall of Fame, Jackpot? Oh, Jackpot. So he's not pissing in the sink, ladies and gentlemen. But no, normally this year, I believe they're going to have them in Birmingham. It's too far. It's too far for me to go, man, to be honest with you. You got to get up and be there. And it's just, I tell you what's funny is, yeah, it's in Hoover this year. That's right, Blake. Thank you. What's funny is I don't normally do TV, but I end up doing a TV spot with the station in Syracuse and a station in Pittsburgh. So my happy ass is on TV in Pittsburgh and Syracuse. And I'm like, man, those people up at Syracuse, they're like, what is this hick going to talk about? Which is kind of funny. But
Megan Megan says, guys, I call, but I'm working.
Wow.
Can't wait to tear gutter his new asshole. That's a common excuse. I mean, it's 10:22. You can close the drive through down now. Nobody else is coming through that damn Burger King.
He says that Gator Tooth is like working at a transmission shop or some shit.
Just hang a sign up. Just tell them the cash register, debit credit card's broke, the grill's broke, the shake machine's done. Just hang it up. Close up shop, dude. Ain't nobody going to fire you because guess what? There ain't nobody that wants to work. So nobody's going to apply for your job tomorrow, the next day, or next week. You're safe, Megan. Megan, close that damn Burger King down and call Blake us.
Blake wants to know if I can get I can get Jackpot into media days with me if he wanted to go, but Jackpot has a job. He can't be goofing off with me on a Wednesday and Thursday in Charlotte.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily true because we don't know where I'll be at Wednesday and Thursday because supposedly the job that I'm taking is 10 days of work, 4 days off. So that could fall during those 4 days off. But then I'm taking a vacation too at the end of July in the great state of Pennsylvania.
I could take Jackpot with me and he would probably be a freaking star up there. That's just the way that would be. Anyway,
last year when who was it that wore the blonde wig? John Simpson.
Yeah,
John Simpson wore the blonde wig because they didn't take Trevor Lawrence to media days. That was 2 years ago, right? Yeah, that wasn't a media days last year. It was virtual or whatever.
Yeah, but he sat down with us with the blonde wig on. That was kind of funny. People talking about the ice cream machine being broke. You know, my wife sometimes wants a McDonald's milkshake. And every time I go up there and I sit through the damn line, they tell me, oh, the ice cream machine's broken. What a shithole McDonald's is. Anyway, they'll never sponsor this show.
I want McDonald's. They did. It said the hiring will pick up late July and August in South Carolina. Yeah, probably so for the better paying jobs, but for the lower paying jobs, not so much. We still got a bunch of lazy people around here.
Out to the phones we go. Someone who is not lazy, welcome into the Rob and Kale Show.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Oh, you know who this is, right?
It's Gator Tooth, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Gator Tooth.
Hey, he's tied up at work. He's giving out free BJs tonight. So, you know, he's got a busy schedule. That's what I heard.
Give away free BJs at Burger King. That's against the bylaws. You have to charge.
Yeah. He
has to skew them in at least as a Whopper or a BK Big King.
Oh, yeah. He's putting that extra on that combo there.
Wow. So poor Beggin' Megan, who is supposedly working at the drive-thru at BK tonight. Now he's given blowjobs for nothing. And having to ring up as a
I mean, that's customary for Georgia fans anyway. You know, that's how they most of them are.
I tell you, Gator Tooth, I like your Waffle House uniforms better than those Burger King uniforms because they got like the red, the green, and the yellow stripe on them. They look a little bit weird. And it looks like a little bit of a weird rainbow. And if you drop some of that sauce on them or something, you're going to have to wash it as soon
as
you go.
What are you talking? Are you telling me where I work?
Your black uniforms, I mean, if you don't work real hard one night, if you have an easy shift, you can wear that thing again the next night. Thereby,
oh, I'm head of maintenance in Nashville, so I make that bank.
Wait a minute. I thought, Megan said you worked at a transmission shop, like cleaning out the bilge or something.
He works at Waffle House.
I mean, he could say that. That's fine. I'm a head of maintenance at an apartment complex, so I make good money.
Oh, well, hey.
Tell me you work at Waffle House.
Let's make sure we put that out there. We're not mocking you, man. You're out there doing your thing. But we're just going by what Megan said. He said you were and then now Jackpot's telling me you work at Waffle House.
Worked at Waffle House. He said the other night he said that Gator Tooth came out and called in during his cigarette break from Waffle House.
He did say that. But I work during the day and I get off in the afternoon, so I got a good job.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Begging Megan, he says, "Hurry up, Gator Tooth! Your cigarette break is almost over."
Well, to be fair, he switched from Marlboro Reds to Marlboro 100, so he could take a longer smoke.
Hey, I'd rather be smoking cigs than smoking poles.
That's the line.
Hey, I love y'all show, man. Y'all have a good night. All right.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that.
All right, man. See y'all.
Yeah, Gator Tooth joining the show. Jackpot, that might be the line of the evening. I'd rather be smoking cigs than smoking poles.
Well, I mean, you know, he's got a point.
Yeah. Well, shout out to a couple other folks over here. Katuza 93 says Huddle House is better than Waffle House. Begging Megan says that was good. Touche, Gator Tooth.
I have been to Huddle House at one time in my life.
You're a Waffle House guy, right?
I'm not a Waffle House guy. I'm just saying I've been to Huddle House like once in my life. I've been to Waffle House like maybe 10 times. So if that qualifies me as well, 10 times in 46 years doesn't really qualify me as a Waffle House guy. Just.
I like Waffle House. I ain't gonna lie to you. Blake says the quote maintenance guy at the apartment complex is the one getting it on while you're at work.
Like Schneider from One Day at a Time.
Yeah, Jody's
big like thing. Keys jingling over here on his one side. You didn't know what he had jingling on the other side.
All right, so yeah, there's that. Final. I tell you what.
Atlanta Braves are losing right now 10-7 to these motherfuckers, 10-7 to the Red Sox. I mean, every time they play the fucking Red Sox, it doesn't matter how shitty the Red Sox are or how good they are, they get bent over and just absolutely railed. I mean, what is wrong with this damn bunch?
I wish that I could tell you, but our former co-host, the comrade, they just hit a home run. Comrade just made cum cookies all over his chest because of that. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure he did. He'll
be back to me later. Ooh, the Red Sox. Ooh, shut up! I ignore the shit out of those texts every time the Braves.
Oh my God, man! I mean, they do. I mean, the Braves are just they're terrible against all these AL teams. I mean, the Detroit Tigers, they have an abysmal record against them in interleague play. And Detroit has historically sucked asshole.
Hold on, since I'm gonna call the comrade right now and tell him to fuck his team right here live on the air because they need it. There you go. I'm calling the comrade right now. We're not gonna put his phone number out there because people hate him. Let's see if he's going to answer the phone. Probably not. We'll call him anyway. He probably won't answer. There you go. Biggest Red Sox apologist you'll ever meet as his team is dismantling America's team, the Atlanta Braves, tonight. Answer the phone. He's probably not going to answer the phone. We're going to leave a message, though.
This is Mike. I'm not here right now. Leave a message, and I'll get that.
What? All right, hold on. Hey.
The mailbox is full and cannot send any messages.
Can't even send him any messages.
What? What's the point in having a cell phone if you're not going to answer the motherfucker?
He's. I told you he's making cum cookies because the Red Sox are winning.
He'll
text me about an hour. What did you want? Well, we were calling to tell you fuck your team. That's what we were doing.
So, Blake Robinson says you can find Gus Malzahn at the Orlando Waffle House right now. You know what you can also find Gus Malzahn at? The Window of Winning. Yeah. I think that they got steal.
Didn't they pay Auburn paid him like I think it was $25 million to go away and coach Central Florida.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, I think that was legit stupid. I think he's going to do some good things. I think he may elevate him back to the Scott Frost level and above. I mean that campus is. Have you ever been to the UCF campus, Rob?
No, sir, I haven't. I hear it's a
huge. It's huge. I mean, yeah, it is. It's huge. It's huge. It's legit. I mean, they got everything down there. And guess what they even have right outside the campus? A Del Taco.
We have a Del Taco here in Columbia.
I know you do, but I didn't know that. But I did. I filmed a food review at the Del Taco in Orlando when me and Holly went down there and October during COVID. She and I were the only people in the restaurant, and then somehow I fucked up and deleted it. But that was great. And then I found out you do have a Del Taco there in Columbia. It's off Harbison, but I fucking hate that road in Columbia. That is the shittiest fucking road, and those damn red lights by that damn fucking mall. And then that shit across the damn road, they hold fucking, and by the Rushes, I like Rushes too. They got great food. But the one there on damn Harbison, fuck that. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to the Rushes in Camden or in West Columbia before I'll damn go to Harbison Boulevard.
Harbison Boulevard is tough.
Harbison Boulevard is probably like Woodruff Road here in Greenville. It's a shit show. It's too much traffic. Nobody knows how to fix it. So they just let it be fucked up.
Well, good stuff there from Jackpot. Obviously, we'll be back at it on Sunday night. Yeah, Sunday night we'll be back at it, and it'll be the Father's Day edition. Jackpot, we'll be talking on Father's Day. Look, imagine that.
It'll be the Father's Day edition.
Yeah, we both are dads. Except your son's a big old boy now. He's done grown up.
Yeah,
my son will be 15 this year. I can't believe that shit.
Well,
my daughter's taller than I am. She's out there playing volleyball, looking like a big, tall young lady. What the hell's going on with all that? Anyway,
grow up fast, sir.
They certainly do.
People think that's cliche, but they do. I mean, it just seems like yesterday that mine feels like he was a little warm. Little mass in my arms, little babe in the woods. Now, I mean, he's 20 years old. I mean, you know, he's in college, taking college classes. He's working a couple of jobs. So, you know, I'm really proud of him, Joseph. Yeah. I mean, you're a good kid. I love you.
Let me tell you that. Well, he comes from good stock. He didn't come from no bullshit. That's why he's a good kid.
As Conrad Thompson would say, without question.
Without question. All right, so we'll be back at it on Sunday. Thank you guys for watching, and we will see you then.
Appreciate you.